This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Our metabolism slows down as we age. Most of us will be familiar with this. Things that we could get away with in our teens and 20s suddenly get a little bit harder as we get further along. So are we doomed to grow old and fat or just grow old? Personal trainer Karen Siaz is on the show today to discuss metabolism and weight management. I'll also be getting her comments on the recent New York Times story about how former contestants on The Biggest Loser regained their weight and continued to struggle to fight a slower metabolism. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
So I think the word metabolism, firstly, it's one of those words that gets thrown around a lot, but not everybody knows what it refers to exactly. So what is metabolism and what is a metabolic slowdown?
So in our body, there are many, many processes and chemical processes that go along to help us sustain our life. So metabolism is one of the, it's a system of processes that helps us to break down things or synthesize things. So it could either be breaking down fuel, proteins or fats or whatever, or building things up to produce energy. So as long as the process, the end goal is to produce energy, that's metabolism.
So what is a metabolic slowdown? Because I think really, you know, I've been warned so many times, you know, oh, once you turn 30, it's all over, you know. What are they referring to?
Yeah, so basically each of us, we have a metabolic rate. So the rate of all these processes, the rate of our bodies producing energy. It's different for each individual, but generally as we age, this slows down. Not just because our bodies grow weaker or something like that, but there are actually many other factors in play that results in the slowdown of these processes. So basically, when we say your metabolism will start to slow down as you age, it's not just because, you know, you are just getting older and weaker. There's things like your muscle mass is shrinking, therefore your metabolism slows down, or certain processes are not as efficient, that's why your metabolism slows down. So that's basically it.
Do you think that many people are aware of that slowdown? Like, can you actually feel it? Because I know that I know of some people who complain of it, but I also know equally of people who, you know, have been eating the same amount of food in the same way for years now, you know,
yeah.
And there's no recognition that, maybe I should change because maybe my body is changing.
I think many people know that it's happening, but I don't think they know exactly when it starts to happen. And most people kind of conveniently use it as an excuse sometimes, like, oh, yeah, it's because my metabolism has slowed down. Basically, the metabolism is when we talk about metabolism slowdown, we're talking about when our body is at rest. So we're not talking about what the metabolism rate is when we are physically active. We're talking about when we are just going about doing our daily things, like just sitting down here or, you know, just doing our work. So that sort of metabolism is what we are concerned about, because that's what's going to affect our weight. When it's fast, then our weight kind of stays, you know, stable. But when that slows down, then our weight kind of gains. So I think people don't really know when. They just know that as they're hitting midlife, it should be kind of slowing down, but people don't really know when it actually happens.
The other thing I hear people say very often is, I have a great metabolism and that's why I can eat this much, or that's why I never gain weight, that's why I'm so skinny, because my metabolism is so fast. Is there a way to get slower metabolisms to speed up and to get faster metabolisms to slow down?
I would say not really. Some of us, yes, we are born with a higher metabolism rate, but it shouldn't differ too much from individual to individual. A lot of it has to do with the type of food that we eat and the type of lifestyle we lead. So not just
also body type.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Body type, yeah. As well. So, but generally, body type, if we're talking about across the board, Asians generally have pretty much the same body type. Our European counterparts, our Western counterparts would be a bit different. So generally across the board, Asians, we have roughly the same type of body type. Some will have a higher muscle mass content, for example, or some will have slightly higher fat content, but generally about the same.
How does aging affect it? Do we know for sure? I know we said earlier we don't know exactly when it happens, and that there's a lot of rather complex things that factor into it.
Yeah.
But do we know when we might need to start looking out for, okay, like I need to change certain things about how I live?
That's true. That's a good point there. Actually, when you start to realize that certain things, like maybe you take a longer time to recover, for example, after a long day at work, you realize that when you just started work at the age of 22 or 21, you realize that you bounce back quite easily after a weekend, for example. And then once you approach like 26, 27, you realize that it's a bit harder. So these are all signs of metabolic slowdown as well. And I think there's these things that you need to notice. You need to notice when you start to feel more fatigued, when you start to feel more tired. This is roughly the time you know that your metabolism is kind of slowing down. And probably this is the time where you need to look at your lifestyle, your diet, things like that.
Do you find people coming to see you and admitting that that is what's happening?
Yeah. They all say that, actually. It doesn't matter what age.
So does it mean that we need age-appropriate exercises and physical activities? We need to change the way we exercise?
I think the exercise itself, based on metabolism, we need to see, of course, whether this person is generally active as a child growing up, or this person is generally sedentary as a child growing up. And that actually affects their metabolism, current day metabolism, a lot. I wouldn't say there's age-appropriate exercise just because of the metabolism. But I do think that if this person's end goal is to lose more weight by a certain time, then definitely there's a certain type of exercise for that goal.
So when you meet somebody and you, after talking to them, after after kind of assessing what's going on, you realize that you are working with somebody for whom they do have a slower metabolism.
Yeah.
Things they get tired more easily, weight piles on more easily. What would you do differently for them?
I would generally suggest that first of all, I'll tell them that just one or two sessions a week with me is not enough. Metabolism, like all other body processes, you need to adapt to it. And to adapt to it, you need to make it into a routine. So first of all, I'll tell them, okay, when you work with me, of course, it's going to be good. This 1 hour of workout is going to be good. It's going to be very high cardio. This all speeds up cardiovascular, speeds up your calorie burn and all that. This all helps with metabolism. But they need to understand that they need to do something like this every day. It cannot just be this two times a week with me.
Can exercise affect metabolism? And I think here the question is this. When people start exercising, mm-hmm. after not exercising for quite some time, they eat more. It's just what happens because you're hungrier, and also I think there is a psychological justification that happens where, well, I've worked out, so now I can eat. So does exercising affect metabolism, or is that hunger something that we should ignore?
You should eat a little bit more. Again, metabolism, coming back to the actual meaning of metabolism, is when it breaks down certain things to produce energy. If you are exercising at a rate that you are breaking down a lot of things too fast and then you're not eating enough, that can affect your metabolic rate after the exercise as well. So there are many things that can help metabolism. And when we talk about post-exercise, we also want your post-exercise to also help with the whole increasing metabolic rate as well. So, of course, you need to eat enough to be able to exercise enough, and to exercise enough to be able to burn enough post-exercise.
So how much should we be eating? Or what is it a question of how much, or is it a question of what we should eat?
It's a question of how much, and it's a question of when. What as well. But I think when is actually very critical. When you eat, right before, 1 hour before, all these things you need to figure out. Different people will have different tolerance for different foods. And I think that you can actually get this from any sort of weighing scale that gives you body composition. They usually give you a figure which says BMR, which is your basic metabolic rate. So the basic metabolic rate is your calorie burn for doing just daily things, for walking, for sleeping, for getting up, for, you know, moving your arms, for writing, the basic. So average
1,002,
I would say 1,002, 1,003 for women, 1,005 to 1,008 for men, roughly there. And it's all mathematics, actually. So if you actually want to, that is your basic metabolic rate or your basic calorie burn. And then you either eat that amount if you want to maintain, you eat less than that so that you exercise more so if you want to lose, and you eat more than that amount if you want to gain weight. It is that simple.
Do different forms of exercise affect hunger differently?
I would say yes. I think that those exercises that uses up a lot of strength, a lot of muscular breakdown, so that your body would tend to crave food a little bit more because your body needs to build more amino acids, to build more protein. So I think those exercises that you use up a lot of muscle and you break down a lot of muscle, that's the kind of exercise that make you crave food more.
I'm speaking today with Karen Sia, personal trainer. We're talking about beating the metabolic slowdown, something that we're all fighting against. If you've got any questions, our phone lines are open. Give us a call. That number is 03-77-109-000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. With any questions about your metabolism or your fitness, you are listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me in the studio, Karen Sia, personal trainer. We're talking about beating the metabolic slowdown today, something we're all trying to fight against, to stay young forever, to be able to eat whatever we want forever. If you'd like to give us a call to ask any questions about metabolism, about weight management, about your fitness in general, Karen's here. And the number to call is 03-77-109-000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, back to the metabolism issue. Does stress have a lot to do with it?
Yes, there's definitely stress will cause cortisol levels to go up. This actually in turn affects your metabolic rate as well. It depends. On some people, it increases it. For some people, it decreases it. Depends whether you want to call it lucky or not, or unlucky. But whatever it is, it does affect you and it does affect your eating as well.
Hence, people stress eat.
Yes.
Okay. With the fasting season just around the corner, mm-hmm. how does fasting affect your metabolism? Because you go from consuming, you know, so say you're a 1,200 kind of person, you go from consuming 400, 400, 400 across yes. three meals to all of it, probably more than, in fact, right at the end of the day. How does that change things?
So the one thing to note is that our bodies are always resisting change. And whatever happens or whatever new thing that we try out, and if we try to implement something new, our bodies will try very hard to change to go back to normal. So if we have a certain metabolic rate all this while, and then when we start fasting, the body will realize, how come there's no food in my body? How come there's not enough levels of fat, levels of protein, levels of carbohydrate that is being topped up every day? So they will adjust to do that. So when a person fasts, the metabolism will slow down because they think that this person is going into starvation. So that we better, you know, hold all the storage that we have before we run out. So that's what happens inside the body. So the metabolism does slow down.
There is a lot of hype about metabolic damage, and this occurs when dieting to very low body fat levels, where individuals permanently damage their metabolisms to the point where they're getting fat on just 800 to 900 calories a day, which is really not a lot at all. And it's said to occur when losing weight too fast or trying to do too much cardio on top of what's already a very low caloric intake. Is there any truth to this?
Yeah, so I think that, I've not personally not come across anybody who has gone through very, very drastic change. But I do know a person who was training with me, and he did lose quite a bit of weight when he was training with me. But during that time, he was also on a lot of different supplements that were supposed to help him to lose weight as well. So he lost quite a lot of weight in the maybe 6 months that he was training with me, and he was very happy about it. And I told him, okay, you look great. You know, you're doing very well. So maybe at this point, I wasn't aware of the supplements that he was taking. So I said, okay, you can pretty much be on your own. Just keep doing whatever you're doing. But the moment I stopped training this person, within the next 6 months, he's put everything back on. And so this is something that... And we read about this as well. We hear from friends who go through a certain crash diet or something like that. And then they get the weight they want, and then after that, they put it back on. And I think what you mentioned just now has some truth to it. There is metabolic damage. If you actually go down a certain level, too low below the safety level, your body, again, like I said, it resists this change. It doesn't like this change, and it will create havoc within itself. All the cells and everything, all the chemical processes will all be, will all, you know, run helter skelter to try and come up with a process that seems fit to sustain life, and that's what happens, I think.
So if this client had come back to you, mm-hmm. And said, okay, look, I've gained, you know, I've regained all 20 kilos, for example, you know, what do I do now? What we saw with the New York Times Biggest Loser mm-hmm. story was that going back to the old way no yeah. longer worked. You know, doing the things that they used to do to lose weight the first time around no longer worked.
Yeah.
So what would you have done to try and help this person?
I would definitely recommend a slightly slower progress rather than a drastic change. So with this person, to me, at that point in time, he just seemed like a very determined person. He was going to the gym every day, and he watched what he ate as well. And he seemed very happy about it. So this time around, if he comes back to me, I would say, look, let's take things slower. It doesn't matter if you don't lose your kilo within the first week or within the second week. Let's take things slow. Let's go back to what you're eating every day. And just make sure that we are losing within the safe zone. And I would say a safe zone would be, say, a kilo in 2 weeks. I would say that would be it. So you lose about 2 kilos in a month. And we carry on from there. We slowly, gradually carry on from there. So then the body has time to adjust to that. It doesn't go havoc.
Generally, when you have people coming to you and saying that they want to lose weight, mm-hmm. Is that the goal, or do you try and change that around to say, well, okay, maybe we don't look at the scale. Let's look at let's look at muscle mass. Let's look at your measurements. You know, let's not look at the kgs and pounds.
Correct. Actually, I very rarely try to focus on weight loss itself, because I think that is a bonus that you get from so many other things that you benefit from having a healthy living or healthy lifestyle. I would focus on, so we always do a fitness test at the beginning. And then after 3 months, we do this fitness test again. I say, hey, look, you could only run 10 meters last time and you'd be huffing and puffing. And this time you can run like a whole kilometer. You can run up the stairs. You can, you know, lift this heavy. So these are things that I focus on, because these are things that are more sustainable. Weight loss has a lot of, it's like, from my point of view, I can only see them once a week or twice a week. And a lot of the things that they do on the other 6 days or 5 days a week is entirely up to them. So I would tell them that, you know, we try not to focus so much on weight loss, but of course everybody always still wants to come back to weight loss. But yeah, I do focus on things like, look at how well your pants fit you now, or look at how well you are able to, you know, run around, or how well you're able to dance, for example. Yeah, these things are, to me, that's more sustainable.
We're talking about metabolism, specifically what happens when your metabolism slows down, as well as weight management, weight loss and fitness today. If you've got any questions, give us a call. That number is 03-77-109-000. You can text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Earlier, you said that, you know, with this client, after mm-hmm. all that weight loss, you said, okay, I think you're ready. Out of curiosity, when do you say that? Actually, when do you look at a client and go, okay, I think, you know, you are ready to walk on your own, you know, go forth?
Well, basically, when I see that they are committed enough to their exercise, and they know that even if I'm not there, they know what to do, they know how to do it, and they are very well versed with you know, what they should eat, what they should not eat, then I say, okay, you know, maybe you don't need to pay me to come and give you a program anymore because you can come up with programs on your own. But somehow, I guess, some people, it really works well for them, and they you know, carry on very well after that. But for some people, I think they need that extra, just someone to be accountable for. Like they said, okay, I've already paid this person, so I'm going to go do this. Without me being there telling them what to do, then they fall off the wagon very easily. Yeah.
The recent New York Times story on former contestants on The Biggest Loser regaining their weight and continuing to struggle with a slower metabolism. When you read that, what were your initial thoughts?
To be honest, I think I kind of expected something like that when the show first aired, like many years ago. And I knew that, of course, show business has a lot to do with it. They are trying to see, you know, vast results in such a short time. But what I was surprised and shocked was the emotional trauma that these people actually go through during that time when everything came out. I mean, I don't really know how far the truth can go, but actually, I think that it is expected that these people will definitely. I didn't really know that they would gain back more than what they have lost. I thought that they would definitely gain back some, just because there's no way you can sustain that sort of lifestyle as what they did on the show. Exercising 8 to 9 hours a day, eating only about 800 calories a day. There's no way you can sustain that. I think I was not entirely surprised, but I was shocked at how badly hurt these people are emotionally and, you know, through the trauma that they've been put through.
That emotional hurt, I mean, it is no small thing to lose a large amount of weight. You know,
yeah.
It's a very difficult thing.
It is, yeah.
And when you do it, it's something that you're, of course, very proud of. And when it comes back, I imagine that it can be very psychologically damaging. Now, as a personal trainer, I'm sure you deal with motivation all the time.
Yeah.
But this is motivation of a different sort, right?
Like, yeah.
How would you work with somebody who has lost weight before and now find themselves unable to do the same old things? I mean, they learn a set of skills, and now those skills are irrelevant.
Yeah. I actually find it difficult for me to be the person to talk to them, simply because I guess I don't come from their shoes. I didn't come from a place where I was that size, where I had to go through all that. So I think the best would be for them to speak to someone who would understand their situation. And I do have friends who I'm very, very proud of, who've taken the step to change the way they lead their lives, change their food intake, change their lifestyle. And to me, because I've always been active, like growing up, I've always been active. But for someone who has led a sedentary life for, you know, the past 20, 25 years to suddenly want to change, and they do it on their own, at their own accord, I think these people are very inspirational. So whenever I come across friends or even friends of friends or just stories of people like that, I try to keep them, save them, you know, and bookmark them. And then when I come across someone like this, I will send these things to them. And I think that they relate better to these people.
So when it comes to losing weight, if you are somebody who feels like a healthy weight is very, very far away at the moment, you know, that you are far off that mark in that sense. How do you start, and how do you get, well, earlier we talked about 2 kilos a month.
Yeah.
After that, how do you keep those 2 kilos from creeping back on month after month?
So what we're doing is when we go through this gradually, we are actually increasing the body's metabolic rate gradually as well. And when it's a slow, gradual process, the body can adapt better to it. So my hope is that at the end of, say, 6 months, so they've managed to lose 12 kilos in the 6 months, or at the end of 1 year, they've managed to lose over 20 kilos, for example, their body at the end of that period would be burning calories at a different rate than what it started before. So it's unlike what has happened to The Biggest Loser, whereby they are burning less than what they started off with. So this one, hopefully, we have actually managed to increase metabolic rate. And I think it has shown positive feedback from a few people who have encouraged them to do this way. Yeah.
And are there different types of exercises that people of different sizes can safely do? Because obviously you don't want to, you know, start exercising, be very enthusiastic about it, and within the first week injure yourself so badly that you're out for a month.
Yes, that is very true, actually. And there's actually a lot of studies that people who are overweight, people who are obese, they have very weak joints. They're very strong in their arms, for example, because they do a lot of things with their arms that doesn't require them to lift their own weight. But their ankles are generally quite weak because they are carrying all that weight. And if they come from a sedentary lifestyle, then even they would be even weaker. So exercises like jumping or bounding down the stairs or things like that is not suitable for people from that situation. So we need to see their background. We need to see how much overweight they are. And of course, then after that, we need to see their range of motion, what can they do, and things like that.
There are a lot of movements focusing on how fitness doesn't have to look a certain way. You know, fitness can be for people of all sizes, including one Instagram account in particular that I'm thinking of, although I can't remember the name, that focuses on very sort of larger women performing serious yoga poses. You know, we're talking handstands and just all sorts of things. How do you get to that point in terms of fitness? Because so size is not a good indicator of fitness. Is that
no,
fair?
No, it's not at all. And if you, and this is based on my own experience, like when I run a marathon here in Kuala Lumpur and when I run a marathon, say, in Australia or in New Zealand, I'll be running with much larger women in Australia and New Zealand and they'll be beating me. They'll be overtaking me and they'll be looking really, really good in their run. And I really don't like, and which is why I don't like to focus on weight loss as a goal of, you know, the exercises that I do. Size really isn't a measure. It's how you feel and how fit you are and basically what you're able to do with your life. What I want for my clients is for them to be able to enjoy life for a longer time, you know, be able to go out to the park, be able to run around. I don't want everybody to be marathon runners. They can just do the minimum. I think that yoga is actually very good for people who are overweight, for people who are larger, simply because, like I said, if they've got very weak joints, yoga is something which is very gradual in their progress.
For people who might have read that New York Times article and felt disheartened, you know, thinking, okay, so what's the point? You know, I go through all this effort. These are people who worked out 9 hours a day, showed so much willpower. And in the end, they've just ended up in some ways, worse off, you know, than before they started. What message would you like to relay to people listening who might be thinking, oh, weight loss is not worth the trouble? Yeah.
Okay, I think that if you believe that you can be a better version of yourself, whether it is a fitter version of yourself, a slimmer version of yourself, a smaller version of yourself, doesn't matter. I think that if you have even that smallest belief that you can be and that is possible, then I think that what you should do is you should talk to someone, whether it's a fitness professional like myself or even someone who you know has some experience in exercise, talk to that person and just get started. You know, information is king, education is king, awareness is king. So read up about it. Like I said, I have friends who have gone through it, who have been much larger last time and have managed to shed the weight and, you know, become a lot more active, a lot healthier. And I think that that's so inspirational.
Finally, there are some studies suggesting that slow metabolism is linked to longevity. So it seems like this is a case of a balance between attaining a long life and maintaining a healthy weight, you know, being able to have your cake and eat it too, except a very healthy cake. How can we make sure we're keeping our metabolism healthy, especially when our goal is weight loss? And how can we make sure that if we do lose weight, we do it without struggling always to maintain that number or maintain our measurements and our metabolism?
So vital stats are very important. So things like our resting heart rate, blood sugar, all these things that do your health tests every, you know, every 6 months, every year. Just get all this in the green. If you see any red signs, do look into it. And I think when it comes to metabolism, it's really not much we can do to kind of change it. It will slow down. It's inevitable. One way, though, is to actually start doing more resistance training, so a bit more weight training. When you pack on more muscle, I'm not talking about being a bodybuilder or anything like that. When you pack on more muscle, generally your metabolism will go up. So a person with a higher muscle mass will have a higher metabolism in general. So that's one thing that you can do.
Thank you very much for coming in today, Karen.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with personal trainer Karen Sia. We've been talking about beating the metabolic slowdown, especially as we age or as we lose weight. You are listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.